Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That means it's beginning to look a lot like, and I tell you what, it is so cold here. It's 51 in Houston. I feel like I ought to be here with my parka on and because that's just freezing here and I can't get the heater up high enough to be warm in here. So I'm going to be shivering during the program, but welcome to the program tonight. I just truly hope that you had a blessed Thanksgiving day with your family. And I hope you didn't get injured in all the Black Friday sales and trying to go out and do that. I was goofy enough to get out in that, but I enjoy that. Didn't really buy much, but I got a little cart there full of things. But I just enjoy going out and watching people and get involved in that and standing in line and go, what am I standing in this line for out in the cold in front of Home Depot and waiting for them to open and things like that. But I just hope you had a great time. Most of all, just being with your family. But let's face it, being with your family, don't tell anybody, can be stressful. It can cause things to get up inside of us and cause us to bite our fingernails and to throw things when we get home and to bite our tongue so hard because we want to say something and you're bleeding out the side of your mouth. And it can cause all kinds of things, but I just hope you made it through it and you enjoyed it. And it was a good week. I had a great Thanksgiving. So welcome to the program tonight. I tell you what, there's several ways to get involved tonight. And we would love, because this topic that we're going to be talking about tonight is really something that we don't get a lot of calls. I think TJ will probably admit that maybe we get one call a month, maybe. But we would love to have you call in to ask questions about what you deal with when it comes around the holidays and how do you handle it and what doesn't work and what works for you. And we have some pros here that's going to share with you how to get through that, hopefully in a better way, in a more calm way, in a more peaceful manner. But you can get involved by calling 888-627-6008. And the awesome Thomas will patch you right through at the BBS radio station. Or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness and let me refresh this page and make sure we are live. And we are. We're right there. I'm seeing that. We got people on. Or you can get on my cell phone here at 832-396-6525. And already have somebody texting in going, okay, well, we were, I think, 30 seconds late. Sorry about that. But anyway, and yet that's the way you can get involved. Love to have you come in. Looks like we're dark out here tonight. It's getting darker earlier. And it rained like the Dickens this morning. I was sleeping right there in the chair, and there's windows all the way around here, and it was just coming in sideways. It was storming so hard and lightning and thundering here in Houston, but it finally gave up, and I think we're going to be having a rainy week all week long. But welcome to Breaking the Silence, and we just have a back by popular demand guest tonight because they were, people fell in love with him so much. But as we go through the Thanksgiving week, I wanted to just share with you a couple minutes and we're going to get right into our guests. But I shared this morning with the folks at church as I was ending the sermon that there's five blessings that we can receive as we give thanks to God for our life. And, you know, that's what it's all about. And I was talking this morning also that we've been talking the last couple of weeks about gratitude. And thanksgiving and gratitude are two different things. Gratitude is an attitude, is a constitution within you that no matter what, you're grateful for what you have around you. Thankfulness is if I hand you a $100 bill and you say thank you. And it's more active to a certain event that you've experienced. Same thing with happiness and joy. Joy is an inner permanence in you, and it's deeper than just circumstances around. But if you have that challenge of trying to find and live your life for the month of December, which starts tomorrow. Can you believe that already? Yeah. TJ and I were just talking before the show online that it's like, wow, how did we get to the end of the year already? But here we are. Mm-hmm. But that thankfulness, wouldn't it be awesome to go into the office tomorrow and have that presence of mind and the presence of your delighting that just comes out of you, just exuberates something special of your gratitude, not for the job, but for the Lord that allowed you to breathe one more day. And that's what it's all about. So I came up with these five. First of all, when you give your thanks and your gratitude to God for the blessings in life, these are five things that you give and get back in return. And you can never outgive our Lord and Savior. It's just impossible. Every time you do something, he just gives you more back. And I just love that. But when we give our thanks to God, it causes our focus to shift. And I think our guests are going to be talking about that tonight. And I kind of want to maybe start off the conversation with these five points and see what you think about them. But focus on what we have instead of what we want in life. Just look around. Look at your grandkids. Look at your children. They have every toy, every video game, every system that's on the market. You have probably not the first iPhone. How many of us still have the old flip phone? Remember those came out and they had big old buttons? Some of you may still have, but you have that flip phone. We know we have, we're blessed. We all wear more shirts. You know, our guest tonight's already changed shirts twice. So he's wore two of his three shirts he owns. But, you know, we do. And when we focus in on God and the blessings that he's given us, we're not, it shifts us to being thankful for what we have, not what we want. Number two, thankfulness focuses us on his grace. Amazing grace, and just no other word for grace but amazing. His grace that he gives us each and every day. That's why I need to have that Thanksgiving season, not just a Hallmark day, not just a day that we point on the calendar. That day I'm going to be thankful. We need to have it all year long just because of God's grace, that we're not getting what we deserve. Thank goodness for that. Yes. Three, it encourages us to have a positive attitude. I can start seeing this around people that I work with at Baylor College of Medicine, that when they start getting a negative attitude about their job, then they start nitpicking everything about the job. Well, I think I'll just go over here. I think I'll just get a job down at Methodist, or I'll just go over here to, you know, Memorial Hermann Hospital and get a job. And I always say, hey, if that's what you want to do, go and see if you can find better benefits, better place to work, a nicer place than this. And normally when they start looking, they can't. we're blessed in the place we're at. But when you start siding that with that negativity, it just starts, it's like a disease. It's like a cancer. It just starts eating away. We've done this with spouses. And then all of a sudden, one day, they're gone. Either through death or through divorce. And you go, wow. And then we start looking at the negative things instead of why we fell in love with them to begin with. And that's what we need to focus on. So it allows us to have a positive attitude. Thankfulness also gives us and helps us develop hope for the future. And you look at the news. I try to stay off the news. I will in the mornings when I go to the office. I put on a news station and I let it run all day just in case something happens. But I peek into it periodically throughout the day. But I tell you what, it's all so negative out there right now. Mm-hmm. But it does, when we give thanks to God, it shifts our hope into the future that we have. So no matter how bad it is, no matter how many, 10 years ago, it was probably longer than that, when Al Gore was telling everybody in the world that, hey, this world is just going to be burned up in 15 years or whatever it was, called global warming. I tell you, God's in charge of that thermostat. God's in charge of the temperature. Yeah. It used to be in the olden days when I was in high school, we would use Right Guard on our pits and we would spray it where you would cough and all right. And you just spray it all over. Now they won't even let you buy that kind of deodorant anymore because it's bad on the ozone. Let me tell you what, I've never been concerned about the ozone because that's something that we didn't manufacture or create. God is in charge of that layer of protection between us and the sun. So it develops our hope for the future. And the last one that we're going to get to our guest, thankfulness will cause gratitude to enter in to every area of our life. Mm-hmm. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. That's what Thanksgiving is all about, to allow it to ebb in, marinate in. Think of a steak that you're gonna cook on the grill and you'll let it marinate all night long to get all those juices all the way through that meat. That's what Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving and gratitude, happiness and joy is all about. That's what this season is all about. Mm-hmm. And you think, hey, well, no, Greg, you got it all wrong. It's all about Black Friday. Oh, really? Well, just wait in the morning when you pick up your phone. Uh-oh, it's Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Oh, now we're going to have better deals than what you got on Friday and you were standing out in the cold for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you can get a ride online for cheaper and they're delivered straight to your front door. You don't even have to get out of your PJs. And then they'll come up with something the following week and the following week. No, it's not about that. Let it be this year something different. Let it be about the baby, the Christ child, that one gift that changes everything in every one of our lives. And I'm going to let you know, he's never been sold out. You can't go to the store and wait for an hour for it and go, oh, sorry, we're out. He's got enough love, grace, forgiveness, mercy, understanding, peace and joy, and I can just keep on going for the rest of the hour. Mm-hmm. For each of us, that's what this season's all about. And when we start tapping into that, not on the 25th of December, but maybe the 1st of December, and then carry it out all the way through the rest of our lives, not just the month. Okay, that's all I got to share with you tonight. By popular demand, we have Bob and Tammy Cranston. It's Dr. Bob and Tammy Cranston. Dr. Bob has written several books, and let's listen to this one. We didn't even talk about this one. Bioethics in Today's Christian. That ought to be a whole other program altogether. And he co-authored the book that we're going to be talking about tonight and some of the concepts that they talk about in there, The Blank Journal, with his wife, Tammy. And he edited his father's autobiography, My Journey, and he actively blogs all the time. I don't blog, but I respect people that have that endurance to be able to go in and do that. TJ, go ahead and bring them in as I describe Tammy. Tammy is the co-author of also The Blank Journal with her husband Bob, and she also published Why Not Me, an award-winning, critically acclaimed children's book, Rooted, a Seedling's Journey. And it's the first of a five-book series. Five books. Good night. But welcome to the program, Bob and Tammy. I thank you for coming back. It's just a joy to have you all with us tonight.
Thank you for
Same
having
here.
us.
Same here. Thank you.
And remind me, where are you at? Are you in Florida where it's nice and warm?
We are in Pensacola Beach, Florida. And yeah, it's a little on the chilly side, like you were saying. I don't think we're a whole lot farther south than you, actually. So anyway, today was about 60. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool for us. I think it was the wind and everything that made it even colder. But thank you for being back. And you were just on the program not too long ago, and you were talking about The Blank Journal. And here's mine, but hold up that book so we can let people know. There it is, The Blank Journal. And it is about more than just biking through all the states, but it's about life. And
Yeah.
that's what we're going to talk about tonight in a very, very popular way. So how's everything been going with you? You have a good Thanksgiving?
Well, ours was I'm so glad you talked about gratitude. Ours
Okay.
was Thanksgiving was very different. We did a trip up to Illinois because my mother is in hospice, and
Oh.
I knew if I didn't get up there, this would be my last holiday season with her. So we got to spend 6 days with her, which were went pretty well, and it was a blessing. You know, she is on medication, so sometimes she's very groggy, but we had some good meals with her, some good conversations. On the last day, which was Thanksgiving, we were supposed to have a Thanksgiving breakfast with her before we returned home, but she was in too much pain, and because of medication, she was pretty much out of it, and we didn't get to say goodbye. So I am grateful, even though I am preparing to lose my mother any time now. I'm grateful that God chose her to be my mother. I'm grateful that I was her daughter. I'm grateful that she has shown me love. I have shown her love. She was able to say thank you to me. I was able to say thank you to her. So it was a time of gratitude. And for that, I'll always be grateful. But you know, we'll be talking about grief and the holidays really have a way of complicating our grief for several reasons. They bring up so many memories and so many traditions. And my mom was always big on the celebrations. I mean, she knew how to throw a great party. And I even have friends that I'll run into from my grade school years, and that's what they'll say about my mom. Oh, your birthday parties. Oh, I remember what your mom did. She knew how to throw parties and carnivals, and she was just really big on being able to organize activities that were fun and meaningful for people. So, yeah, that's. And then after we had breakfast with her, we packed peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because we knew that there would not be any restaurants open. And that's what we had for our Thanksgiving meal. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich while we were on the road. But thankfully, and I'm very grateful, I've taught Bob how to cook some things, and he knows pumpkin pie is one of my favorites. So before we left, he baked pumpkin pie and put it in the freezer. So, but when we got back, we were able to have at least pumpkin pie.
Well, that's awesome. And what, you don't have to tell me the exact city, but what part of Illinois is your mom in?
Around Bloomington Normal, Central Illinois. Yeah, she's
Yeah,
there.
I'm born and raised in Southern Illinois.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just reiterate it on the last time that we saw her, she was somewhat groggy. But near the end, she woke up and very clearly said, "Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Bob, for all that you've done for me."
Yeah.
With a
Yeah.
clear mind, and she knew.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a memory that you'll always be grateful for.
It will. And I was feeding her. We brought in Olive Garden because she does not like the food at the nursing home. And she was a she had her own restaurant and she was a chef, so she likes
Wow.
good food, not nursing home food. And so we brought her in Olive Garden, and I had Bob take a picture of me feeding her, and I sent it to my son, and he said, "That's a full circle moment right there." But that's another me good memory that I'll have. I literally was feeding my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's speaking of full circle, let's full circle this with, will you ever not remember that on Thanksgiving Day?
No, I will never remember what happened on that Thanksgiving
You
Day.
will always remember.
I will, yes, I will never forget that. You're
Yeah,
right.
and isn't that true? Even though it's a good memory and a sad memory, it's bittersweet.
It is
It
bittersweet.
will affect the way you 3 years from now go, oh, 2025, I was with mom.
On
Remember
Thanksgiving.
Bob? And you'll have that conversation. And it changes us, right?
It
Yeah,
does.
it does.
Absolutely. Grief. There's no one can go through grief and not have them not be changed by it.
People can try. They can try to suppress it, but it comes out.
Yeah. Well, then it can change you negatively, and it can change you to where you become more passionate about living, and you become more compassionate towards other people. So it can change you in a lot of ways.
And how do you deal with that? Because if she's in hospice, there is a possibility of her going home to her Heavenly Father during this next holiday. I
Yes,
don't
I
know
am
how long
very
the
well.
hospice is recommending.
I will probably go up every other month until I lose her, but I am also prepared. I have three siblings there, and somebody is going in to see her almost on a daily basis. So I'm very prepared to get a phone call. You need to come now. But I also know, I may get the phone call and not be able to make it up there in time. I am working through what is called anticipatory grief, where I am preparing to lose her. And that is a real thing that people go through. It doesn't stop the initial shock that people go through when they get news of a death, but I feel like anticipatory grief is God's way of helping you work through your gratitude and your relationship with that person. You start to relive memories and prepare yourself for that is what I'm going to have for the rest of my life.
Do you think it's kind of like, because I use this a lot when I counsel people, and maybe this anticipatory grief isn't the same, but I always say, I think when we go through a shock system of losing someone, it's kind of like Novocaine at the dentist, and
Yes.
eventually it starts wearing off and the real pain comes.
Yes.
But does God give us that emotional Novocaine to get us through these moments and those times
Absolutely.
so we don't feel it all at one rush?
Oh, I think if God did not do that, the pain of it would literally kill us. I mean, when I got the news of my son, I just felt like my son passed away. I just felt like I'm ready to die myself. I
That's it.
can't handle this pain. The pain is too much for us to bear. We were not created to lose people that we love. It is too much for us to bear. So that is a gift from God to have the initial shock so that we can start processing our grief in small doses. And that's what we have to do. We have to process it. We have to acknowledge it and think about it in small doses because that's all that our minds and bodies can handle.
And I think part of that is you process it and then you step back and you just rest in
Yes.
Christ. And then you process some more and you rest and you process some more. So it's not a one stage and it's not a I'm going to get over this tomorrow. It's not like that. It's a recurring process.
Yes, and that is so true. And eventually over time, it softens. But then there are things that will re-trigger. And the holidays is one of those. Losing somebody else will re-trigger all of the other losses you've already lost. Now, benefits. Yeah. Let's talk about a benefit. You were talking about gratitude. Another thing that loss will do is it will make us analyze our own lives. What is our purpose for being here? What is our legacy? What is the meaning of our life? It makes us contemplate on those things.
Yeah, I think like when there's, especially when there's, because grief comes in every different size, shape, color, magnitude.
Yes.
When somebody's in an accident with another person, I had the gal that won America's Got Talent years ago on the program, and she went through that plane crash that she was like the only one that lived through. Mm-hmm. This, you know, 100 and some others died.
Wow.
And she had that why me guilt and grief. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there's all kinds of different sides and facets of that diamond called grief, because it's a different way you look at it, no matter how, and everybody has to deal with it in their own way, right?
Yeah, for many people, a loss of a dream is grief. You know, like you mentioned, divorce. You get married and you think that you're going to be happily married your whole life. You go through a divorce, that's a loss of a dream.
Loss of a job, mm-hmm. loss of finances, loss of health. There are many, many forms of loss that can re-trigger the pain.
And so, almost everybody we know has gone through or is going through some type of grief. And yet it's a topic we don't talk about enough. We also know that death is totally a taboo subject. Nobody wants to talk about death. And that's something that we're trying to break the stigma on. We openly want to talk about death and have people think about their own deaths. Because if you think about you're not going to live forever, it affects the way you live your life right now.
Yeah. I use this a lot when I was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. I remember speaking in front of the group, the next group I spoke in front of. I said, you know, I was just diagnosed with this, and I'm honestly the most blessed individual in this room. And they all gave me that funny look.
Mm.
And it says, and I said, it's because I've been told my time's limited and you all think you're going to live forever. it gives you a different set of eyes. And if we can only look at that set of eyes.
Yes.
From God's perspective, you know, your mom will be in a better place, but it's so hard to put that set in when you're going through hospice and what you experience, because you're seeing them.
But see, part of this anticipatory grief is when I see my mom right now, it's not the mom that that's not how I want to remember her. I want to remember her as the vibrant mother she was. She's very sick. She's not getting out of bed. She's in a lot of pain. So it's in some ways when someone is very sick like that, it's you get to a point where you don't want to see them suffer anymore.
Yeah. Tell you what, we're going to drill down way deep down into this subject.
Okay.
But 888-627-6008. We're going to take a little commercial break. If you have a question, please call in. And we want to hear your perspective of this and the different angles to look at this. But we're really going to just take all these layers down as we go through the rest of this program. Don't miss the last half of this show. And we will be back in about a minute, 20 seconds. See you right back on this, on the side of commercial break. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
Welcome back. We have a special guest, back by popular demand, Dr. Bob and Tammy Cranston, all the way from the beautiful state of Florida. And they have written a book called The Blank Journal. And the subtitle of that book goes, Biking in All 50 States and So Much More. And that so much more ought to be circled, because it isn't just about a bike ride. It's about that. And that is what we're talking about tonight. Grief, holidays, and as I talk in my book, I think one of the chapters, it's like chapter 2 or 3. It's called Christmas 1967. That's my first memory of being abused as a child. So Christmas, even though I'm a believer, is a joyous day, it still throws back an extra layer of triggering things. I got to gear up. So Tammy, Bob, how do you deal with going through and anticipating past grief that's going to be revisited again during the holidays as we go through Thanksgiving? You know, 'cause Thanksgiving may have been hard because of an empty chair. How do you prepare yourselves for that? Here we go. Yeah. Another holiday.
Yes, it is so tough, but you have to expect it. It's not something that you can ignore or deny. That's not going to help you. You have to expect that it will be hard, but there are some things that you can do to help. And I'd like to touch on some of those. We call them the 3 C's. To choose, connect, and communicate. And just to break those down a little bit, you know, the holidays are a very busy time. And you'll have friends with good intentions saying, I don't want you to be by yourself, or come here, go there, do this. But you are the only one that knows your limitations. The holidays are a time for you to not say yes to everything. But it's also a time for you to connect. So to isolate yourself would not be a healthy thing to do. So connect with someone who you can communicate with, which is the third one. Somebody that you can talk about your feelings, talk about what would be a comfortable thing for you to do and why you choose to not do something else. And, you know, sometimes people will want to continue a tradition because they feel like it is honoring their loved one. But for someone else, doing that tradition may be way too painful. So the holidays, when you're going through grief, is a time for you to think about creating a brand new tradition. You talked about the empty chair. A lot of people will leave that empty chair there. We have a grandson who died in December. And so every year we plant a tree in memory of him. And there's so many things that you can just think creatively of things that you can do that would be a new tradition. For us, the son that I lost, every holiday season when we would see him, we would go bowling with him and his boys. So we just saw his boys when we were in his three sons that he left behind when we were in Illinois. And what do you think we did with them? We went bowling because that was something that his father did. And they just expect it now. Whenever Grammy and Papa come up to see us during the holidays, we're going to go bowling.
Was there a conversation in that process of the other day when you went bowling with them
Yes.
about dad, about the son?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it wasn't like, oh, we're pretending it didn't happen.
No.
It's an opportunity to communicate in a different setting.
I'm so glad you brought that up because with the communication, when we lose somebody we love, there's an elephant in the room and
Yeah.
it's called grief. And nobody wants to mention the name of the person who died. They're afraid they're going to upset everybody in the room. Do you think people have forgotten that person? But yet we avoid talking about them. You want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's one thing on our bowling that was interesting is Travis is his name. And Travis was an exceptional bowler. And those of us who were bowling were terrible bowlers. So we mentioned several times, if your dad was here, he'd be getting lots of strikes, but not us, So we kept him as a part of the bowling game that day.
Yes. But I feel like we're honoring his memory because he said to us, knowing he was sick as a type 1 diabetic, he said, if something happens to me, promise me that you'll take care of my boys. I said, absolutely. You know that we will. Well, they have their mother in their life, but as grandparents, we try to be as involved in their lives as we can. And when I see them and we do things with them, we take them on a summer vacation. We are honoring their father's memory. It's hurtful and very sad to know that they won't have their father in their life. And in some ways, my heart is forever, it is forever broken. Not some ways, it is forever broken that I
Sure.
never see my son again interact with his children because there was something so beautiful in that. So that's a loss that I am reliving every time I see them. But all three of those boys look exactly like their dad. And you talked about gratitude. And I think gratitude and grief need to go side by side because even though I lost him, I'm so thankful that I was his mother. I'm so thankful for the time I had with him. And now I'm very thankful that I have three boys, three grandsons that remind me of him and that I still get to love. And, that's the price that we pay for loving someone is the fact
Oh.
that we will someday grieve over someone we love.
And we're also very grateful for their mother who allows us to be a part of their lives.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that often happens after a death or a divorce, is that sometimes one of the spouses will keep the grandparents away from the kids, and we get to see them. We call them on the phone, they call us, we pray with them, we talk about their dad.
Yeah.
So those are all ways of memorializing his life.
So we were talking about the elephant in the room. That is probably one of the things that bothers me the most is that people are afraid to mention our loved one's name to the person that's grieving. And we have not forgot about them and we never will. So what I try to do is be the first one that brings it up. maybe share a memory. And that's what I did with the boys. I said, you know, your dad loved to play bowling, and he was really good at this game. And next time you come to visit us in Florida, I want to show you some videos of him bowling because he was really good at it. And that's, I bring it up. And then that sets the tone for them to now bring up anything that they would want to say that's on their hearts about their dad.
I mean, it's obvious you don't forget. And it's obvious you never get over it.
Right.
A mother, a father, a husband or wife losing a spouse or a child, you never get over that. It's just you learn how to deal with it differently. And that choice is huge. Do you think that sometimes we push our choices and the way we handled something in our own grief onto other people? Because you guys both met at a grief support group.
Yes.
Bob, at the casket of your late wife that had passed, if I had gone up to you and hugged you and said, "Hey, I'm here, but the first thing you need to do tomorrow morning is go to a grief group," that wouldn't have been the way to say, handle that problem, right? Because I was pressuring you to do that. It's a choice. And you had to have a boundary around you. How did that boundary help you process? Well, maybe I need to go to a grief group instead of being forced to.
Well, that's a very good point. The social worker who was working with Larry, Tammy's husband, and my wife, Barb, was the same social worker. And she said, what do you think about going to a grief support group? So she didn't say you have to go. And my initial response was very tentative. I said, well, I'm not too excited about that, but I like you. I really felt like she was a caring, kind person.
Yeah, she was.
And I said, I like you, so I will go once and we'll see. But I was so impressed that the leaders were very knowledgeable but compassionate. And so I went a second time. And sure enough, I ended up going for all 8 or 9 sessions.
So in the boundary, should people ever apologize for their own personal boundary that they have?
No,
I don't think so
absolutely
either.
not. They should be aware that, of the boundaries they need, and they should be willing to share them. In fact, this last weekend, Tammy was talking to a woman whose husband had just died, and Tammy was inviting this lady to come to a book discussion group.
Yeah, a book club.
And the woman said, well, I don't know. I'll think about it. I'm thinking about it. And Tammy did not push. She just said, well, you know.
If you can't make it this month, you're welcome to come anytime.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to another point is we have good intentions that want to tell us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And so we need to set those limitations. It goes back to the choose. Choose
Yeah.
your limitations. And a lot of that is, you know, you need somebody to talk to who you can share with. And that person you're sharing with needs to be a good listener. Dr. L. Alan Wolfelt, that we trained under, has counseled many people in grief. He is a world expert in it. And he says you can divide people up into thirds. And you can expect one third of the people in your life will be truly empathetic. They will take the time to listen. Those are the people that will say, how are you doing? I really want to know. I'd like to take you out to lunch and have a conversation. They're looking you in the eye, and you know they're going to take the time to listen because most people just say it as they're passing by, and you just say, I'm doing fine, because you can tell they're not going to take the time to listen. So hang on to these people in the one third that are very empathetic, that will listen and have a desire to understand what you're going through. Then you have the other third that's just neutral. They neither help you or hinder you in your grief journey. And then you have the final third that's harmful. And those are the ones that will judge you, that will give you unsolicited advice. And most importantly, they're the ones that try to take your grief away. Grief is not something that you can hide. You have to go through it. And I mean, I've had people, you know, say things to me like, you know, as a Christian, well, we don't mourn as those who have no hope. Okay, I understand all about hope. That is the very thing that is giving me, that is sustaining me right now, is the hope that there will be a reunion, a big reunion that I'm looking forward to. But you can't take someone's grief away. So you really want to surround yourself with the people that are in group one. And there's a lot of times when you are the one that's grieving and you just will cut conversations short. You will maybe not answer phone calls. You will set those limitations. And it's also very important to give people grace because they just don't know what to say.
Yeah, you know, when I go as a minister to the funeral homes right before the visitation, I always try to go in during the family time. And I always say the same thing. And I had two funerals last week or the week before last. One, a young lady, and then one, an older one that had gone through a hospice type of situation. But I said the same thing with the family around the casket. Was, hey, in a minute, these doors are going to open up and you're going to have hundreds of people walk through. Beware, because majority of them are going to say something goofy, are going to say something that they don't mean, and are going to say something that's going to upset you and hurt you. Ignore all that, because they don't know what they're doing either. Oh, hey, they look great. Or, hey, they're in a better place. No. This one was a young lady that was in her 30s. Like, you can't tell a dad your daughter's in a better place. The best place for your daddy's daughter to be is next to their daddy. Don't give me that. And so those things become hurtful. So the best thing we can do when somebody is experiencing grief and going through the first holidays, Bob, Tammy, is what? What's the best advice to give them on that first holiday without their loved one?
They need to choose what they feel is right for them.
For them.
If that means they just want to stay home, that's fine. But do not isolate yourself completely. You know what your limitations are. You do have someone. There's always someone in your life that you can talk to. Maybe you could set the limitation by saying, I will come to your house, but I want you to know I am only staying for 15 to 20 minutes.
That's good advice.
Yeah, I will come for dinner, but then I'm going to leave. Because then there gets into this big celebration and everyone is so happy. And then you get very uncomfortable because you're not feeling happy right now. You're in pain. So I think it's very important on those limitations. And we haven't really talked about the self-care, because that's part of it. You are, especially your first holiday is the toughest, but your self-care is so important because you are mentally and physically exhausted. Your sleep schedule is off. Your whole rhythm of life is off. And now you're supposed to be celebrating without the person that you love in your life. Everything in your life is turned upside down.
Yeah.
So what I recommend and what I did is I did set those limits where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And I love making new traditions. I can't do the same things that I did before. That's too hurtful for me. So I'm going to make some new traditions.
I think it's very helpful to anticipate it so you're not caught off guard. You say, I'm coming into Thanksgiving. I know this is going to be tough. and you pray about it and you seek the Lord's guidance in advance to help you make some of these choices.
Yeah.
Because if you go in kind of in a hurry, all in a hustle and a bustle, and then you get hit by all this excitement and you're caught off guard. I think it really does make a difference to see it coming, to pray about it, and ask for the Lord's guidance in making choices.
Yeah. I want to talk a
You
little bit more
mentioned
about
something, Tammy, I think a while ago about isolation. Why shouldn't we? Or why should we encourage people to not be isolated? What happens during that isolation period that is so dangerous for people to say, hey, wait, I'll stay home all by myself?
Anyone going through grief is in danger of going into a depression.
Yes.
Anyone that's going through grief is. It's trauma. It is trauma. And so when you can just have those connections that are positive, the connections of the people that are empathetic, the connections with the people that will listen. And it can be through a phone call. It doesn't have to always be in person. If you can do it in person, I highly recommend it. You know, allow that person to come over to your house and say, I'd love for you to come over for coffee or tea, but you know, I only would like a visit for like a half an hour. You have to set those limitations, but don't exclude yourself. Being lonely during the holidays for anyone is a terrible thing. For a grieving person, it's not a healthy thing for you to totally isolate yourself.
Yeah. We only
And
got
if
a minute
you
or
don't
two.
have the family to connect with, you can connect with other grievers.
Yes. Absolutely.
And there are
In the
journals.
last minute or two that we have, did either one of you experience a guilt the first time you laughed
Absolutely.
after the loss? That's something that is kind of hits us differently, right? Like, whoa. I shouldn't be laughing, but I am. Process that for me.
Yeah, I think we very much experienced that when we took dance lessons together. We were learning new steps, we were clumsy, we were trying to get it, and we'd find ourselves laughing, and then we'd say, oh, but Barb just died. Larry just died. I shouldn't be laughing.
I actually cry, so I went from laughing to crying.
But then the next thought was, no, Larry would want you to laugh.
That was my very next thought.
Barb would want you to smile, you know.
That's important. That's
Yeah.
important. Any last thoughts? I want you to hold up the book again because you talk about this. And this is what you guys live by,
Yeah. And I
the
like that,
blank journal.
like you said, that it is, you know, we did set this goal to bike in all 50 states, but it is so much more because it's our story. And we talk about how we came together through grief and how we process the grief, even while we're out riding on the bikes. But also, you know, we talk about losing our grandson in this book. And it's about our journey of healing. And, you know,
Hope.
it is
Yeah, there you
about
go.
hope. But when I look back on this grief that I have been through, I have a new philosophy on life, you know, to live out the purpose, the God-given purpose that God has given me to live out, to live it fully and compassionately. But what grief has done for me is it has taught me to be for someone else the person that I once needed.
Oh, that's good.
And
That is good.
that is why I'm so passionate about talking about grief, because I know exactly what I needed. And now I have the opportunity to be that purpose, to be that person to somebody else. And that gives my life meaning and purpose.
There you
So
go.
I went through all this, but now I'm living a life with meaning and purpose.
Yeah, I have that little sticky note. I mentioned this a lot on the top of my desk that I can now thank God for the things that I went through because it made me who I am today. And that's what it's all about. I can't think of a better Christmas present than this book for somebody that is experiencing that first Christmas holiday without a loved one. buy this book, The Blank Journal by Bob and Tammy Cranston. And any last thoughts before we close out tonight?
Yeah, Tammy's going to get me your book for my Christmas present.
Oh, really? Well, good, 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 good. Yeah. Go ahead, Tammy.
My last thoughts would be to embrace the memories. Don't let grief be the elephant in the room. Embrace the memories. There's so many ways. Every day of my life, I am honoring all of those that I've lost. Embrace the memories, honor their life, and express your faith, and be patient with those who we need to extend grace to.
There you go. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I appreciate your time again. I'd love to have you back. I just can talk for hours with y'all. And in that elephant, there's that old saying, there's only one way to eat an elephant. That's one bite at a time. With that elephant that's in your room that's so obvious of grief, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. Sometimes it's 1 minute at a time.
We often say with grief, there's no reward for speed.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank
Appreciate
you so much.
God bless you.
Make sure you pick up that book, The Blank Journal by Bob and Tammy Cranston. You can get it right there on Amazon, either way, but I think that hard copy would be, and after you read it, put a review in about that book. Tell them what you think of it.
And also, you know, there's ways that people can connect with us through our website, www.tammycranston.com. You know, if anybody reads the book and they have questions, we love to. There's a lot of people that we've met, you know, through reading the books that we communicate with. So.
And I appreciate your willingness to do that, because a lot of people, a lot of authors don't do that. But real, authentic authors that write about subjects that are important to them always make themselves available. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We'll have you back on, I promise.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Sounds good. Thank
okay.
you.
We have a good holiday season. All like right. we do okay. each and every program. And Bob just mentioned it. I always like to end with this word. There's hope.
Yeah.
There's always hope. Right. Look at their lives, what they experienced, both of them, the losses that they had endured. But look at them now. They're now using that journey of grief, hurt, pain to be able to reach out. And in that process, it helps them heal. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yes.
Isn't that what life is all about? So no matter what you face tomorrow, don't give up on hope. And as you enter into this Christmas season, if you don't have Christ, all you have is a mess. So you have to have Christ in Christmas, or you're going to miss it all. That's what this season's all about. Thank you for joining us. Be with us next week for another live edition from the great city of Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome week.
All right.
Reach down, and God bless you as you go into the month of December. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.